Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
We've had an awesome week this past week. The young people had an awesome time this week. I don't know how many of you guys tuned in. They had a wonderful time. I got to tune in where we were at over social media. I got to see how, and they think I was watching to see how blessed the church was. Now, I was just making sure that they wouldn't tear the church down. But they did indeed have a wonderful time. They had good preachers come up here and share. They had wonderful worship, and they had such a vivacious spirit up here, which I believe all of us should embrace in our lives when it comes to Jesus. We never really grow up in our joy for Christ. We always should be giddy about who He is. Amen. You see, we're saved. Think about that. You're saved. Do you know what salvation means in this world today? It means that we don't have to go to hell with the rest of the world. It means that we are the inheritors of heaven because of Christ and what He has done in our lives. Amen. But they had a visitation of the Lord, and we in this church have had visitations of the Lord over and over. Over the years that I have been with you, we have seen an outpour of His Spirit in this house. We've seen people baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of tongues. We've seen the Lord heal and deliver people. We've seen Him disperse gifts amongst many in this church. And how many of us know that that is something that should never end? That's something that should never, church should never become normal. It should always be a place of great expectation. Amen. We should always have it deep in our minds that God always has more for us. That it's no new thing to God to come and pour out His glory amongst us at any moment of the day. Even so, right now. That it's never a surprise to God or something He's unable to do or something He has to prepare for when it comes to the outpour of His Spirit in the church. Over your life, over us corporately. His displaying of His power is not something He's molested by when we ask for it. His grace is sufficient for us, and it's always available at any given moment. He's not the kind of God that's going to have to go home and see if He has any left. He always has power. He always has the joy of the Spirit. He always has mighty works in the hollow of His hand to perform over His people. The problem many times with us as God's people is that we forget that He has all we need on a daily basis. And we fail to really reveal to Him how much we want it. Everybody say, we want more. We want more. When that cry becomes real, God will begin to listen. Come on, church. This is what you came for this morning. We'll celebrate me later on. Let's get into God's Word. This is why you came this morning. Because you always want more. And the beautiful part about our relationship with God and who God is that He always has more. It was in Job chapter 5, verse 9, it tells us He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. He goes on to write in chapter 11, can you fathom the mysteries of God? It's a challenging question. Can you imagine how much God can do in your life? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty? It's almost as if He's challenging. I dare you to try to measure the greatness of God. I challenge you to even try to wrap your head around how great and wonderful and majestic and almighty the God that you serve is. He goes on to write in verse 8, they are higher than the heavens. What can you do? They are deeper than the depths of the grave. What can you know? Their measure is longer than the earth and wider than the sea. He is making it, trying to make His listeners understand. You see, don't ever forget that your God is a great God. Don't ever forget how good your God is. He helps us to understand that even the things that we see, listen to me carefully, even the miracles that you see today are only but the fringes of His power. Even the things that we see, the mightiness of God's move, how he saves the lost, how he heals the sick, how he restores the broken, all these things that we call mighty acts, even those things are but the fringes of his mighty ability. Job writes in verse 20, chapter 26, verse 14, and these are but the outer fringes of his works. How faint the whisper we hear him. That means that we haven't even scratched the surface of who God is and what he can do. Who then can understand the thunder of his power? Wow. I'm talking about your Savior. Remember that need you have? He can take care of it. Remember that illness the doctor said you never recover from? God has the answer for it. You know the need in your home that you have and you've been struggling to possess? God holds that in the hollow of his hands. We have only faced the fringes. We've only tasted the small goodness of God. Who can fathom how great the God that we serve is? He's able to do so much more beyond our wildest imaginations. But here's the question of the hour. And I always challenge this church. This is why I love you. You come because you want God. And I come to remind you and I challenge your heart all the time because it's easy to get involved with worldly things and it's easy to lose sight of why our existence is in the first place. But I challenge you this morning to ask yourself, do you want more of him? Does anybody want more of him? Knowing what you know and what I've simply said in the past 5 minutes of my conversation with you, is there anything deep inside of you that says, I want more? If he has more, I want more. You'll never exhaust the resources of God. You'll never tire him and say, you still want more? Let me see if I can find any. No, he's overabounding in all the things that we desire. That's the kind of God that we serve. But the question remains for all of us. Do we want more? Some of us are of the opinion, some people are of the opinion that God just disperses his glory and his power just randomly, if you will. If we simply just whisper, he'll do these things at our whim. But yet the Bible teaches us great responsibility, knowing how much he has, how much he can offer. He gives us criteria and responsibilities, even when it comes to the dispersing of his glory and his power. So the question is, do we want more? Well, the things that we can do, and I'll give you through really quick, I promise I'll be done. Sometimes we believe that God is an unconditional God. We've heard that said because we like to think about him being unconditional. And I find that one of the greatest reasons is because it releases us from responsibility. I want you to think about that. I'm talking to you as a responsible parent. Oh, he loves us just the way we are. And we like that particular saying about him. We like to look at God that way simply because it releases us from any kind of responsibility that's going to require us to surrender or give anything unto the Lord or to offer him anything in return for all he's done for us. But I want to wake you up to the reality that in Scripture, it is proven to us time and time again, even in the simplest form, that he indeed is a God of conditions. Can you say amen? Now, a lot of people won't like to listen to this message. Why? Because now you're being legalistic. No. I'm being as scriptural as you possibly can. If you can recite John 3:16 for me, and you can recite it in your mind and just read it and tell me if you find no conditions in that particular verse that the whole world seems to know by verbatim. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We love that part. How many can say amen? Thank God that God loves us, that he gave his most prized possession, the form of his son. Is there any condition up to there? No condition at all. But if you want to read the whole gospel, you'll find that he said that whosoever, say that whosoever, would what? Would believe on him. That's a condition. That's a condition. That is something we need to understand. That's a condition. God requires these things, certain things from us in order to receive the blessing that he has for us. He gave us his son out of his will, out of his love. He made it available to us for salvation. The only condition that we have is that we must believe and trust in him. And it goes along with every promise in Scripture. We'll find condition after condition. I don't have time to share any more with you. But even when it comes to the outpour of the presence of the Lord, even when it comes to God blessing this church corporately, if we want the glory of the Lord to come, there are conditions that must be met. There are things that we need to prepare for. If we want to experience such a beautiful thing as the glory of the Lord over our lives, there are things, very simple things actually. It has to do with who we are and how we are able to have self-control over ourselves and command ourselves, to train ourselves on how to provide God that fertile soil where he can pour his glory on. So what are these things? They're things that God takes notice of. You know, I've asked the Lord many times in my prayer time, whenever I see us go through a great time. Like I said, we've had good times of revival here. We've had great times of uplifting and renewal here at Rock of Ages. Amen? We have. A lot of joy. And I've asked the Lord many times, after it seems to fade out and it dies out a little bit, and you say, Lord, what was that? Why did you do that? I mean, was it the sermon? Was it good music? Was it that preacher that came? What was it? Why is it that you give us the seasons? It seemed like, you know, for a whole month, the church is real excited. Then it's hard to drag everybody out of bed the next month. Does anybody ever had that experience in your own walk with God? You're so excited about reading God's word this whole month. You were really on fire for the next. You don't even know where your Bible is. It's like that seesaw experience, that up and down. And I'm going, Lord, why is the fluctuating? Should there be a fluctuating? And you know, the Lord spoke to my heart, and I don't know how he talks to you, but there was a deep conviction in my heart that told me it doesn't have to be that way. Anytime you want me to pour my glory, I'll do it again. Anytime. The failure is not me running out of glory. The failures here, that what causes this stipulation and this gap between glory to glory, is not because I'm unable to pour upon my people the blessings that they desire or that I want to give them. What's missing here is the lack of want. I asked you this morning. Last week I actually preached to you. I said, does anybody need Jesus? Everybody shouted amen. So I'll ask you again. Does anybody need Jesus? Amen. So three things he tells us that are necessary if we're going to have revival on a constant basis. I want you to take this home. Number one, there has to be a true want of him. A true desire, a true passion, a serious want, a serious desire and passion. God is wanting us to want him. Is that okay to say? Does anybody need love here? All of us love to be loved. I'm so tickled to death in my heart that I feel loved this morning by you guys being here. Everybody, every one of us loves to feel loved. So does God. He wants to be loved. He wants to be genuinely desired by his people. God always looks for passionate hearts. People that will go beyond just having a nice worship team, a nice comfortable building, a nice soft pew. a good service, a good this or the other. They want to have a passion for God. What drives us and should drive us here into this sanctuary and should drive every believer in the sanctuary this Sunday morning should not be because they like the pastor, because the church is nice, or because all my friends are there. All those things are benefits. They're wonderful to have. It's good to love your pastor. It's good to have friends. It's good to plan dinner when lunchtime comes. Lunchtime comes. But God wants to know that you're here because you want Him. Is that okay? He wants us to have the same attitude as the psalmist and many more in Scripture. Just to read a couple, Psalm 73 and 25. Whom have I in heaven but you, and earth has nothing I desire besides you. That's the kind of God, the kind of person that God is looking for in us. It was Paul who said, in this world I have absolutely nothing. I have forsaken all things and consider all things lost for the sake that I may gain Christ. So the first thing we need to start doing, ladies and gentlemen, here is wanting Jesus more. I'll go to the second one now. Is the attitude of oneness. God always looks in a house, in His amongst His people, the spirit of oneness. Listen carefully. The spirit of likeness, if you will, in harmony. God will never pour His glory out where there is division in the house of God. Amen? Never. The attitude of oneness, agreement, one to come and meet Him, and two, amongst each other. Now, understand this, and we are all different. This is what we do here at Rock of Ages and everywhere. We always celebrate diversity. We like the fact that we are different in many ways. We cannot agree on all things as people. Some of us like to dress different. We like different cars. We like different areas of town. We like different vacation spots, different foods. There's a lot of differentiations in us. We differ in a lot of opinions in life. And God isn't expecting us to agree in all things. As a matter of fact, the 12 that walked with Him, or the 11, I should say, didn't agree in all things amongst each other. They had little squabbles here and there, and Jesus sees that. God sees that. And that's just what makes us unique. That's what makes us a different kind of people. But what God needs to make sure all the time when He's going to bestow His glory is there is a likeness in desire for Him. A likeness where all of us can say, we may differ in a lot of things as a people, but one thing we're all alike in is that we know we need Jesus. Do we know we need Jesus in this house? That is absolutely key. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. What He is speaking of here in this phrase is He emphasizes a deep, a unified relationship with the Father, not simply something that is going to equate to His identity. But He was truly one with the Father in likeness. They had the same desire when they came to their existence and who they were. The love for their people. I and the Father in one. Psalm 133, everyone knows this passage. We all should. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows His blessing and life forevermore. What an image, very vivid we see here in this example. He's illustrating the value of unity. He's showing us how important it is for us to be like-minded when it comes to Christ. He compares it so much and so special as He compares it to the precious anointing of the priest. In this case, Aaron, he speaks of it as oil running down on his beard and onto his robes. He compares the unity and the likeness of people in wanting Christ as the refreshing dew from Mount Hermon who comes to refresh the land. When there is harmony in the house of God and we love each other and we have a desire for His presence, God will bestow His glory upon us. This is where He sends revival. This is where He sends His glory. And these people that walk with God, these disciples, we'll find scripture over and over where it always speaks of they and them. When he spoke to them and they all went. When he was standing in the outskirts of Jerusalem, he said, I want you to stay here in Jerusalem. He said, he told them. They were all there listening in agreement when he told them. And when the presence of the Lord came in the upper room in Acts chapter 2, they were together. You hear that word they? It speaks of unification. It speaks of likeness of spirit. It speaks of likeness and desire of Christ. If we want this place to be engulfed in the presence of the Lord, ladies and gentlemen, let us all be like-minded and desire him. We differentiate in so many ways, and I understand that. But let us all be in likeness when it comes to our desire of him. And finally, this morning, let us learn to wait on him. I was thinking about this particular thought this morning, this week when I was writing this down, penning this down to tell you. You know how we laugh and we almost giggle at the thought of church the way it was before? Back in the 70s and the 60s when I was a kid. I remember going to church and you couldn't plan anything else in the day. Because church was 3, 4, 5 hours. Anybody remember that time? Yeah. Young people don't know a thing about it. But some of us old folk, our tail end still hurt from the wooden pews. But we go there in the morning, and it was at 10 o'clock or whatever, and we were there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The kids were starving, and mom was rolling around on the altar. Unbelievable. And we laugh at these events and we say, man, I'm telling you. But did you know there are churches today that can have 3 or 4 services in the morning? Right now. We had so much trouble having our Spanish services in the morning. Because we're on clockwork. Jesus is on the time clock now. You know, I'm going somewhere with this. You come into a church today and they punch in at 9 o'clock. At 9:45, you have to get out because the next herd of people are coming in. Whether Jesus came by or not, stopped to visit, healed somebody, spoke to somebody, got somebody saved, I don't know. All we know is that we're out of time. Social media is waiting and telling you cut off because we got 3 programs we got to push in the next hour and a half. So just tell them what you're going to say. Sing 2 songs, no more. Be quiet. Cut it off. Say something, Pastor. And somebody's in the back going, I'm glad I can't see that far. I don't know how many of my us are back going like, I can't see. I'll finish when I'm ready. That's the kind of church we are. Amen. But it's funny, isn't it? And, you know, that kind of impatience. We live in a microwave society. We yell at the microwave because 15 seconds is too long to warm a tortilla up. And that spills off in our relationship with God. When we want God's glory to come down, we're telling God, listen, you've got approximately 45 minutes to make up your mind if you're going to do this. If not, I've got a place to be at. And so as I think about the old service and how long those services were, does anybody care to remember how many people were baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit? Does anybody care to remember how many young people, how many adults were saved and truly saved and on the altar 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon still weeping and wailing in the presence of the Lord because they were first drunks, now they're saints in the presence of the Lord? Did anybody ever consider that all it was, the difference between us and them is that they waited for the presence of the Lord to come. They waited for the glory of God to come. They were steadfast in their heart. They say, you know, we're not moving. He's going to come because he said he would. I don't know what time it's on his clock, but I'm waiting on his clock, not mine. When he decides to show up in glory, I want to make sure that I'm here. Now, we didn't develop this problem. This is not a generational thing. This has been happening since the beginning. You remember the disciples when they were standing with Jesus, he was about to go. He said, hey, Lord, when are you going to do this? When are you going to restore Israel? So we can set our clocks. And Jesus said, put your clocks away. I'm not subject to your time. He's not subject to your time. The problem here is you have to ask yourself, do you want the glory? Do you want the healing? Do you want salvation in your family? You want to be restored. You want your marriage to be restored. You want your mind to be set free. How hungry are you? You tell me when I'm going to do this. None of your business. It's when I'm good and ready. But now we become so mechanical. We become so clock oriented. It's minutes. Cut it off. I left the beans on. We're supposed to start our barbecue at 12. Jesus, if you're not going to do something, do it now. Or can you finish when I come back next week? I promise I'll have more time. But that's who we are as a generation. Is it not true, ladies and gentlemen? I'm just bringing out a point that very few people like to talk about. Because some of us like the idea of having 6 services on Sunday morning. For what? Why could you have one glorious one, bring everybody in and have a service all day? I don't get it. I'm glad my career is almost over. I'll never get it. But wasn't it the psalmist who said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a song, a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Some people don't have time to fear and trust in the Lord in church anymore. God is barely starting to warm up the congregation to pour his blessing. And all of a sudden, ding, 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 ding. And we got to go. We want God's glory. Somebody say amen. I'm here to tell you he'll do it again. He'll do it again. But trust me, there are certain things we need to prepare for. God is always on the lookout of someone who seriously wants his presence. God is always on the lookout to see if there's a spirit of oneness in the house. And he's always on the lookout for someone who's willing to wait for him.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.